Ray Gunn is my Olympic hero.
Oh, really?
She was arguably the best athlete in the Olympic Games because she expressed herself.
That's what it's about.
Her and Noah Lyles. Expressing yourself makes everyone like you.
I tell you, breakdancing has got the pickleball community fired up. Oh, this is in the Olympics and pickleball isn't?
People are fired up.
Yeah, right. Did pickleball vouch for it? Were they like, get us in? And they're like, no, we can't. There's no room. We have breakdancing.
Yeah, no, we have to let the Chinese win 19 different diving events. We can't have
every
pickleball.
Every time I check the medal count, it'd be like China won four more. I'm like, what are they... They're not showing these on my TV. What are they winning?
So many different versions of diving.
Diving. Yeah. I mean, they
3 meter diving
cleaned up in artistic swimming.
Yeah.
I mean, every gold medal out there.
Yeah, which I do love a good synchronized swimming video where they show half the screen under
and
the
you
water.
See the legs kicking?
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty impressive. That's I don't know cool. if they get judged on what's under the water, but it's impressive.
It's right there it with like when they show a video of like a duck underwater and you're like, whoa,
those feet are metaphor. Back.
Yeah. And so it's kind of the same. Like I had no idea their feet were working that hard. Yeah. And you watch that for 8 seconds max. Like, cool.
Move on.
Have you ever known anyone to do synchronized swimming? Like how do you get into that?
No, I really haven't. Artistic swimming.
I guess
artistic. They started to call it because, okay. You know, doesn't synchronization doesn't mean art. Art is oftentimes abstract.
I think it's very impressive.
Mostly Asian, apparently.
Yeah, what is the roadmap to be a synchronized swimmer? Are you couldn't quite cut it? Obviously, you couldn't cut it at a real sport, so you did swimming. And then you weren't even that good at swimming, so you're like, well, I could do the art. I could do the dancey dance.
You were one of the kids who, they're like, all right, everyone, for whoever does this gets free popsicles. Who tries the water the longest? It was like at just a backyard event.
And then one kid like, who loves popsicles.
Lee, get over here.
I think they're all former... Or some of them are like former gymnasts and stuff because the coach,
ooh, that's
I think the U.S. coach was an Olympic gold medal gymnast.
Oh, a little crossover there.
So I think there's some.
That makes sense. I just, there was about 15% of the Olympic events I would watch and be like, are these athletes having fun? Like, do you think these people are fired up? Like, let's get in that pool and tread water and.
You know what does not look fun?
Dude.
Water polo looks way worse than synchronized swimming. Yeah. That looks, those guys you're getting beat up while you're treading water.
I can't believe they don't die. Every year they say, all right, U.S. won in gold and Australia had the most water polo athletes die. That would be the headline, like six of them.
I thought it was funny. They showed the gold medal match, like they won. And every sport ever, it's like rushing the field. Oh my gosh, like jumping in everyone's arms, but they're out in a huge pool. So like they win. And you could tell they have to be like, all right, hold on, let me swim over there to celebrate. And then they're exhausted and they're just like, okay, I'm about to, once I get over there, dude, I'm going to celebrate this gold medal.
Do you think they're one of them more in shape? What athlete is the most like in shape athlete?
Gymnast.
More polo's club.
I don't know. Treading water though?
Cardio wise,
any
they've got
to
be.
Any of the track people. 400, yeah. 800, all those.
Do you think that they could tread water for an hour? And fight people while they do it.
The people just like with a handgun. I feel like everyone else is a really fit person, but them. Maybe they're just kind of two tiers.
Different type of fits.
Yeah, they are wearing cool outfits, but they don't seem like they are fit.
Yeah, you don't have to be fit to shoot a gun.
Hey, Derek's right there. We got a great episode for you guys today. The one and only Dusty Slay, first guest in the new studio.
Yes.
We have him on board. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you don't know him, we'll explain it.
Yep.
And you're going to get to know him. We got to keep talking about Raygun, a couple of things. Thank you guys for the love. Like, subscribe, enjoy this episode. Let's roll music.
Correct opinion.
Oh my goodness, the Super Recties are out and about. They are supporting the Patreon unbelievably.
Look,
thank you.
We love those who are listening right now, the Recties, but we'd love to see that Recty love get bigger by joining Patreon.
Yes, absolutely. I announced my children's book last week. A lot of support. That was fun. Who knew about it first?
Patrons, then Katie, then me.
The Super Recties.
Yeah, that's
yes.
about it.
Then Katie, then you. And we break down a lot of extra stuff on the Patreon. It's fun.
Yeah, y'all are dropping names of your friends who specifically
right?
did things
we'll
to you.
Addresses. we're starting a new segment where like if you We're just slowly guessing Katie's social.
That's my social. That's my sister's name.
Which I'll talk about her on the Patreon if you want.
That's part of it. We're all calling each other weird names and weird kinks. And
go to patreon.com/TreyKennedy. Patreon.com/TreyKennedy. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the support. When we get to 1,000 patrons, we're going to get my parents in the studio.
Fun.
Okay? Thanks for all the support. It just helps us keep this podcast going strong, paying family man. Because again, he doesn't have a job. His kids are he's a family man. His family's struggling because
join the Patreon.
We won't pay. Yeah, join the Patreon. Patreon.com/TreyKennedy. Thanks, y'all. But Rachel Gunn, she went very viral. She was an Australian breakdancer. She scored a literal zero in the event.
Did she really?
Yeah, the judges were like, no.
I don't understand how she got to the Olympics.
No one does. It's really strange. You guys, if you haven't seen it, Google her. Her routine, but she claps back at the haters here. She took to TikTok, as a lot of these Olympians do. I love it.
Yeah, she's a breakdancer if you have been living under a rock. So, Olympic breakdancer.
But my main peeps know me as Ray Gunn. I think what people don't understand about breaking is that it's not just a dance. It's not just a sport. It's a lifestyle. When you're a big girl like me, there's no days off. One minute I might be making a sandwich, and the next time I'm hitting the sprinkler or I'm rolling around on the floor. You know, it just comes over me. I have a PhD in dance culture, so legally that makes me good at it. good at dance. Breaking represents life. So, for example, when I hit my signature kangaroo move, kangaroo, Australia, Ray Gunn, a lot of people miss that. I'm actually a professor and I teach about the cultural politics of breakdancing. And breaking was invented by African-American teens in New York City in the 1970s. So I thought, who better to represent that culture than me? Ray Gunn. People are saying I was appropriating dance culture because I'm a white woman. But here's the thing. When you've already decolonized dance, as I have done, you can't then recolonize it. It cancels out.
Is that a comedian or is that
a comedian or is that her? I think that's a comedian, dude. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's great.
That was amazing. She had me going there for a second. I would believe that was Ray Gunn, and I think she duped us all, and I think the Olympics is better for it. You should have at least one athlete that's like, all right, and then go in for the gold, and you're like, wait a second. They've never done this sport once.
Because people are always wondering that question. Like, I would like to see a regular person in the swimming pool with Michael Phelps. You know, I would like to see regular people do this. And this is, we're dipping our toe in the water. Like, all right, we will bring you a regular Australian girl to do breakdancing.
I think it was received well, and I think... you're onto something. Imagine they're like, the 400 meters are down the stretch, chasing, like bang, 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 bang. And then it's like, and our representative of the regular population, Jake Triplett's coming up now.
He's 3/4 of the way done.
Okay. Give him a second here. Will he break 60 seconds? Not quite. Okay.
Wow. And he collapses over the finish line. Wow, that's sad.
He's holding up a pickleball paddle. He's trying to sell some paddles.
Wait, that wasn't her?
No, that was a funny bit.
Looked like her.
It's a good Australian accent.
I was like, wow, she duped everyone in the Olympics. That's her.
Speaking of great content, Rexy sent this in. We've all talked about Jenna, how she's looking for her perfect woman.
Ooh, Ellen DeGeneres. Five foot
something girl.
Yeah.
But we found the male equivalent. Kev.
Oh, yeah. Kev Train.
And you couldn't pick more perfect names for both these people. Jenna, Kev. Kev's looking for love. Derek, could you pump up a couple of these on Instagram?
Unfortunately, I've seen some of Kev's stuff.
I can't wait till I find my person who makes me smile, checks up on me throughout the day, and wants nothing but the very best for me. Okay. What's the next one? I can't wait till the day I marry that person who calls me back after an argument just to remind me that no matter how difficult things get, they aren't going to leave.
What?
Some days I am just on fire. Why
aren't I sorry? When she finally notices you. Oh, he's got a little sense of humor.
Some days I'm just on fire.
Why am I single meme? Don't.
I'm intrigued.
Low self-esteem. Low self-esteem rolls. Cute. Mm. Oh, hi. Me and my two beautiful daughters are looking for a bonus parent. Must love the beach. Imagine going to the beach with your single dad, and he's out there with a chin strap beard.
Daddy, can we go to the beach?
Sweetheart.
Hold on.
Daddy's alone!
Maybe she...
Give me 2 seconds!
How old are his daughters? I'm really... There's one of them.
Is that one right there?
Middle school?
Looks like a young lady there. Is she vouching for him? Oh, they're shooting some content.
Okay.
Oh, he's a fun TikTok dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like they're farmers, maybe.
Ooh.
I'm Kevin, North Carolina, Taurus, single, Christian, 6'2".
So I guess my thing is, I really want to know, like, who has anyone found their soulmate using this method?
Instagram?
Yeah. Instagram, we did. I was kind of...
You had some videos like that out there
Well, they were private to you. But, I mean, that's how I DM'd you. I was like rolling my hips and it just said, Trey Christian 6'1".
Mm-hmm. It worked. Yeah.
Content creator.
Yeah, it worked.
Scorpio. Mm-hmm. Every couple ever gets asked, how do you meet? And what's, you know, you meet someone, what?
Like most things, I mean, it's a grind, but I posted a TikTok every day for 3 years. And, I, you know, I did Michael Scott voiceovers. I did TikTok trends.
I was doing numbers, to be honest.
Did people used to put, like, you know how in newspapers you'd put like an ad, like looking for?
Yeah.
I think that some people used to do that to find people they were dating.
This is the modern version.
This is the modern version.
Where like everyone else is using the newspaper for other things. Like, don't take your loneliness. Don't bring it over here. We're having fun with the newspaper.
So we got to keep an eye. We'll keep an eye on Kev as well.
And who's reaching out? Like, if you're Kevin, yes, you're lonely and sad and want a wife. But the type of person to reach out after seeing that content is not who you want. Because they're lonelier than you are.
It might be who Kevin wants. It
might be.
Yeah, maybe.
I just love these. Can I just read a few of these? Ooh, this one's good. Do you see this one? It says, a good woman is like a rare flower, delicate yet resilient and capable of blooming even in the harshest conditions.
You're going to put her in harsh conditions?
And I mean, in what world does a woman like, whoa, look at this thing he Googled. Oh my gosh. I'm so into this.
Oh, his name, it's Kev Train. Is that is his last name Train, or he's like, that's my cool.
I hope it's his given name and not any kind of nickname he's given himself.
If Dave and Buster's is not your style of dating, you're not the one for me.
At least he's like, you know, letting it be known what
is
he's this, looking for.
What is that style? Is that a style of dating? Dave and Buster's? Did you ever get taken to like a...
Orthodox.
To a Dave and Buster's?
Uh-huh.
No.
So you didn't do that style. What style did you do?
The like, good dinner style.
Good dinner, Christian professional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what styles are there? What's my style? Maybe it is Dave and Buster's.
Me and the kiddos are taking applications for a stepmom. Jumping on the trampoline's a requirement.
Oh, he's... Gosh.
So he's kind of saying like she probably hasn't had kids before. Because it's kind of hard to jump on the trampoline.
It feels a little gross. Feels like the guy in Love is Blind where he's like, awesome. Where are you at, girl? Could I easily carry you on my shoulders at a concert?
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Can you jump on a trampoline like higher than 6 inches?
And like Dave and Buster's, you could fit in like with the slides and stuff?
Yeah.
You could do the trapeze stuff, no problem. A harness would fit you.
Love that brand of like dating where people are like, I need a girl she's not afraid to get dirty and she's youthful and jump on a trampoline. It's like that doesn't matter at all. Like if I had a couple things in my head, I was like, I'd really like, you know what, my future wife, she should be able to sing. Wouldn't that be cool? I like singing. Katie, I love you a whole bunch. You're really pretty and nice. Can you sing? She's like, nope. And I'm like, well.
That sucks.
That's okay.
I'll find her.
You know what? That's not that important, is it?
I hate just like the... I don't know what to call it, like the type of culture that's like the jump on the trampoline thing. Like, where is that wife at who takes herself seriously, but also isn't afraid to order a few extra breadsticks? Like, you know, like that type of like, it's like sayings and the bumper stickers and captions and that. Like, who are these people?
Girl, she's going to order a steak on a first date. Like, she ain't scared.
When did they start talking this way? Start thinking this was cute or funny? Like, did your parents instill this?
They were in the suburbs for a while. Okay. And they buy a lot of things at Hobby Lobby.
I like this one. This one was posted a month ago. This one felt like he was just in a low moment and he's just like, I'm just going to shoot people straight. So every video, you need to go see it. It's just him, the song, and the caption is the info. Single for over 4 years, really missed the female attention. Tell me honestly, would you go on a date with me? feels like he's late at night. He's like,
really sad.
You know what, guys? I've been doing this concert for a while now. Really nothing coming from it. Just shoot me straight here.
I'm going to hit him with the honesty. This is kind of what I was rolling around in bed last night thinking about. Would you think about it with
That's
me?
That's actually so sad. You know what's even more sad is that I bet he meets some girls out, you know, in real world, not via TikTok. And then they're like, let me look him up, make sure.
They're like, oh,
and
Taurus.
They were about to go on a date with him. And then they said no.
That's 100% happened to before.
Yeah.
Probably once a month.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Unfortunate. It's too bad. Also, just all that basic stuff reminded me. Are you guys on Be Real? Do you guys have that app?
No, are you on it?
I'm not, but Rachel is. So she's takes those Be Real pictures every now and then, but while you're waiting for it to like show you the picture you took, sometimes it'll like have something on the screen just like for 2 seconds while you wait. And it's usually something like dumb or dorky. And Rachel like showed me this one. It's like, you have to see this one. It's the worst one I've ever seen. It was like, don't you hate it when ... pickles. I was like, delete that app right now. Well, that's just
zoinks, zoinks.
Yeah, just like, oh, whatever. I don't know how to describe it, but that is my least favorite thing. Whatever that type of comedy is.
That's Ray Gunn, probably that type of, that's her comedy.
Pickles. Oh,
pickles. Ray Gunn.
It's just,
I saw more videos of her
kill
like,
me now.
Break dancing at like the, with all the Australian crew at like their after parties and stuff. She's like the, JoJo Siwa of Australia.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that's what she is. So she
any bold predictions for JoJo Siwa? Just to get it on the record now. What will she do in the next year?
Boldest prediction I have?
Yeah.
I've thought of this. She ends up with Ellen DeGeneres. DeGenderless. I think them two will find each other.
I'm going to go face tattoo.
Yeah.
That.
Like, that's a pretty good, I mean, I think the odds are pretty good on that one.
That one may not even be fun to see come true.
Okay, let's get to the interview, shall we? Dusty Slay.
My dad's really excited for this.
He is.
Yeah, he said he loves it.
Good.
Yeah, he loves Dusty Slay. He likes that he like grew up in the trailer park and, you know, Netflix special.
One of the same.
Huh? Yeah.
He came through the studio. We had a great interview. He sat right there, Katie. You were at one of your 17 doctor's appointments per week.
Yep.
but he filled in great. We missed you. Dusty Slay, comedian, 2 Netflix specials. He's on Nate Bargatze's podcast. Yep. And good, clean comedian.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. So enjoy this interview. Dusty Slay, everyone. Go follow him. Check him out. He's on tour now. And here it is.
I've been wearing like Viore pants.
A lot of people are into those.
And I wore the, I was like, well, you know what? I'll wear some jeans today. And then I'm like.
No, they look nice.
All right. That's a good shot.
They look nice.
That's a good shot.
Make sure we, in the edit, Derek, just make those jeans pop.
Yeah.
Because they are popping.
Yeah. And that's a good shot right there. That feels good. That's a good camera.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah.
It's very complimentary. Good headphones, good camera.
Yeah. State of the art.
Good stuff, though. When you use equipment, you're like, oh, you can see when it's good stuff. You mm-hmm. got these things here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, this really means a lot.
Yeah.
We're rolling. We're recording. Rolling. Yeah, we got this. All right. Dusty Slay, everyone.
Hey, he's the most complimentary man I've ever met.
You're the first guest in, because I said we just moved into this spot. You're the first guest at this studio.
All right. That's great. I love that. I love to, you know, now I don't feel like I'm, you know, it's not sacred territory. So
exactly.
Like I'm christening it.
You really
is that
are.
What they
You're
say?
Christening it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are.
I will say you're taking Slate. Over. We had to kick out Trey's wife for you to be here.
That is usually where my wife sits. So
okay. All right.
There is kind of like a. Yeah.
I am sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's what we're looking for. But Dusty Slay, everybody. In Kansas City, you got shows this weekend, so thanks for making the trip.
I appreciate it. Yeah, cross state lines. I didn't even realize
right.
it.
I know. If you haven't seen Dusty, he's on Netflix. You got 2 specials on Netflix.
I have a half hour. Yeah,
and then the full real deal.
Yeah,
hour, big time Netflix, and he's on Nate Land podcast. So
yeah,
I'm glad you're here, man. You've played the Funny Bone up here. Few times, I'd imagine.
Well, it's always been the improv when I played.
Yeah,
it. So
new name.
I've never played it as the Funny Bone.
Okay, you'll have to let us know what changed.
Yeah, but I've been to the improv many times.
Yeah,
I like Kansas City. I'm a big fan.
I know. I saw you're basically sold out. I feel like Kansas City is just a great I've always sold well in Kansas City. Yeah. I feel like it's a good spot.
I think so too. I said this to you off air, but it's like I had three shows and they all sold out.
Boom.
And then we added a show and now it's not sold out. So what we could be what we could so be saying here is sold out weekend. But instead but we're now, like, well, they're almost sold out.
That said, he's had to come to Kansas to hopefully hawk a few more tickets.
Yeah,
he's like, this is a live radio show, right? Yeah. I can like sell tickets right now.
We'll do, yeah.
Can you post
we'll
this ASAP?
We'll put some out now. We'll help him out.
Yeah. I don't even know if, I mean, I still do radio all the time. I like doing it, but I don't know. I never listen to the radio. I don't know who's listening to it.
Yeah, I don't either. I've done radio too before on one of the nice occasions where I was sold out, and I'm just like, want to do radio. I'm like, I guess that's good to do. And then like out there, they're like, okay, how do we push tickets? I'm like, well, it's sold out. And they're like, why are you here? I'm like, should I not be here? I don't.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the 90s, you know, and it's like radio was like, it was a big like, deal in the 90s. So I still am like, ooh, I'm on the radio.
It's nice to at least, I feel like my grandparents, they don't know what I do for a living. And you can at least be like, well, I'm on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be like, whoa.
Well, that's true. Morning TV.
Mm.
I've done morning TV, and then I'll say, you know, my show is relatively clean. This is the kind of show you can bring your aunt to and not be embarrassed about it.
That's nice.
And I've had old people come to my show
because of that
pitch. Yeah.
Okay. I might have to steal that. Yeah. That's good to know.
Because you got, that's who's watching that morning TV.
That's funny. Yeah. If you know your target audience, it's like, yeah. And this is a show you can bring your grandma with arthritis to. You can bring anyone named Janine to.
Yeah.
You know, they may just not slowly call them out.
They may not get all the references, but they're going to not be embarrassed that they're there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun. That's fun. You're in Kid City. I do feel like people like clean comedy around here. Nate added a second arena show when he was in Kansas City. People just appreciate good comics.
They do. So. They're like good, clean comedy. So go check it out because you really do. You're special. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. Regular Thank breaths. You. I still quote.
Oh, yeah.
You need some regular breaths.
Well, it's true, time. Right? People get so frustrated. They're like, I just want a cigarette. And it's like, I think there is some science that if you actually just go take deep breaths, that's the calming effect you're looking for. That
is regular breaths.
It's not that the nicotine. It's just breathing.
I mean, nicotine's great. I love nicotine. I'm not promoting it, but I do love it. I actually have a dip hat on, but... A lady in the airport yesterday goes, what's on your hat? I go, it's a Kodiak. It's, you know, it's dip, but it's also a racing hat. She goes, oh, are you into racing? And I go, no, but I used to dip.
I'm more the dip part is what I'm into.
And she didn't know what to say. She was kind of like, oh, okay.
I love that she like believed in you. She's like, the racing is what, that's what you like? I'm hate to break it
And then some other people asked me about my laptop. They go, are you happy with your MacBook? And then I start talking to them and it's like, they're almost, they're like, thank you. Okay, thank you. I'm like, you asked me. I'm trying to give you some real feedback here.
Yeah.
You want a yes or a no? Just lead with that. Yes or no, you like the MacBook.
Yeah. I feel like the longer, you know, we've been podcasting for 5-6 years now, and it's making me a longer-winded person. I'm becoming that, like, weird uncle who won't leave you alone. And people ask me a question in public, and they're like, so you like traveling? And I'll realize I'm 5 minutes into their answer. I'm like, I got to shut up.
It's like we don't need to fill an hour right
here. Yeah, I know. I'm becoming that person.
That is a tough side effect.
Yeah.
I did an adult dinner party this week and I regularly now have to be like, I need to take 5 minutes and be quiet.
Yeah. It's tough to shut up.
Yeah, it's hard when you do comedy and do podcast and then it's like you're trying to have conversation and you're like just talking about yourself. And I'm like, I don't know what else to talk about anymore. This is what I've been doing for 10 years. I've been trying to figure out things about myself to say so that I don't offend anyone. I just talk about myself.
Yeah. I mean, people love, you know, they want to hear about like, what's traveling like, or what's, you know, the road like. And so then I'm like, oh, they probably want to hear like a funny story. And then I just get telling stories. And then it's like, well, they probably just wanted me to say, it's fun. Have a good day.
It's fun.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to meet you.
You got to punish them, though. If they ask a question, you got to.
Yeah, you asked, you know, how's the comedy going? It's like, I have a lot of thoughts on that.
They're walking off. You're like, oh, hey, another thing.
And, yeah, another thing.
They're rhyming. I bet you heard of that. I don't get them coming back. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you know the rhyming.
Speaking of venues, Joy Theater, is that New Orleans?
It is, yeah.
Man, that was one of my uniquely worst experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Just
is the green room still yellow?
I don't remember. This is what I had a great time at the theater, but afterwards I like to have cigars. So we sat off to the side and we had cigars, and then there was a shooting in front of the theater.
Okay.
And I heard the shots, Joy Theater. And then people took off running. And we were behind a fence. I felt safe. And so I was just hanging. I was like, this is a real New Orleans experience here.
It really is.
Yeah. And I don't think bullets can go through fences. So you were fine.
Yeah. I mean, if I'd seen him come around the corner with it in his hand, I would have been a little more worried. But
it's a great theater. It was just, I played it. It was COVID. And then New Orleans was the town, one of the towns where they're like, let us see your card and stuff. And then some of my good old suburban fans were like, we're not coming. And I did a show. To 15 people in masks, but it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like less on the theater and more on the, you know, because I did a Tonight Show with people with masks on, and I want to tell people all the time, I go, hey, this is a good set. They were laughing at this.
Can we pump up the mics? Back there, they were
laughing, but they were like this, you know?
Did you ever do the drive-in thing?
No, I feel like I came up with a drive-in idea. And I pitched it.
Yeah.
And then the drive-in was like, we like that idea, but we need, you know, we want someone bigger. We want a bigger comic. I had no Netflix specials at the time. And still they probably would want someone bigger. but then all of a sudden everybody's doing drive-ins.
Yeah, wow. That's
except
funny.
Me. I never got to do one.
They just ripped your idea.
Yeah, no one ever no one even invited me to do their drive-in shows.
From what I heard, they weren't ideal, like most things in COVID. But does that still make you like, I still want to do one?
No, it does sound terrible. I think Nate might have even done a special at the drive-in where they were, instead of laughing, they were honking the horn.
That's what I heard.
Yes, I had friends go to Nate's drive-in show in Kansas or wherever it was in the area. And they were like, it was great and all, but there's like cold out and just you heard, it was like they would flash their brights and honk. That doesn't sound very fun for the comedian, but
I was just doing indoor shows.
Yeah. You're just like, hey.
If a state would bring me to do comedy, I did Dallas in May of 2020. I mean, Dallas Improv was like, we want to try it. I go, I'm your guy.
Very true.
Have you done you done some county fair shows in your day?
I've done a couple. I did one with John Chris, the Iowa State Fair, I think we did.
Come on.
And I came out after Derek Stroop, who's very high energy, very funny. Mm-hmm. And then the sun is still up, and then the sun like goes down during my set. And I feel like when it got dark, I started bombing. John doesn't think that, but I felt like... I was like,
it's like a Princess Fiona situation. Once the sun set, you turn into an ogre.
I just felt like I couldn't hear the audience. And then when I couldn't see them anymore, it was like, gone.
They're gone.
I could see smiles on their faces. And then I'm like, I got some other jokes that I was like, you know, they're clean, but I'm like, I don't know John's audience
as
well.
After dark. Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to dip into, you know, those jokes, but I'm like, these are the jokes I would go to in a situation where I felt like I wasn't doing well. I was really watching the clock for that 20 minutes to hit.
People have no idea what comedians in real time is going through.
How much
head.
You're processing?
Like,
yeah.
Do I do this joke? I don't know. I would upset John, but I'm also getting upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I do the Opry a lot, and that happens to me where I'm like, if a joke doesn't, like if I'm doing my own show, I can do whatever joke I want, you know? So if something's not going well, I can just pull another joke and go, here it is. But I'm doing the Opry. It's an older crowd. And I'm like, well, I don't know that I want to do this new silly joke about crack that I have. You know, it's super silly and over the top so much that you know it's silly. But I'm like, this is not the audience.
They didn't like the dip joke. So I probably shouldn't push it with the crack joke. We did a county fair recently. Trey, you should tell them the story. So I do my set, Broad Daylight. And there's a couple like helicopter passes. And it's like, everyone is looking up. So I was like, I should probably address it, make a couple jokes. Well, then Trey goes on after me and they really got the helicopter going.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. It's just county fair, but they're also doing helicopter tours. Like you could just tell every like 7 minutes they were up there just like, and that's the stage. And it's
just comedy going on down
there. See how close. That guy, dude, look, this is making his job difficult. So it was fun. It was a good crowd, but yeah, that was, sun was up, so it was nice to You could see
the smiles on people's faces.
You're like, all right, this is.
Even if people are unhappy, you can see it.
You can gauge
when it's where pitch you're black. At. I don't know what's going on out there.
See, no. I don't like the sun up. I saw lots of people get up and leave, and I was like, I'd rather not know that's happening. That's I'd tough. Rather just that perform is for
the,
no one.
When you do the gigs like that, and you're really looking, that is what I'm. When I got off stage, like, how was it? I was like, I didn't see really anyone get up and leave, which I felt like that's a nice metric when it's a fair and people are like, we're just going to watch this guy in this horse track and not walk out. I'm like, cool.
Yeah, because you're competing with fried Oreos and roller coasters.
Yeah,
and
there's
turkey
pigs.
Legs.
There, what do they lead the pigs around?
Yep.
That's fun to watch.
See, I kind of like when people get up to leave in a way because you can, especially at a fair, you can make jokes like that. Ah, they got to get back to the fried Oreos. You know, or I like to, a thing I like to do is if I start a joke and I'm on, it's whatever subject it is, and then somebody gets up, I'm like, oh they hate jokes about this.
Yeah.
And she told me before the show, if you do this joke, I'm walking out.
You ever had someone, you do that, and then they go, that they're just like, I'm going to come sit back down. You ever had that?
Well, that would be
impressive.
They do come back, but I've never had them do that.
Just like moment. They were going to leave. Like, he got me to stay, actually.
I would be into that, but no. Never had that success.
Me neither. So.
I feel like most of the time, if I ever have called it out in a theater or something, because I know they're not actually leaving, you know, they're always like, I'm going to the bathroom, you know, or whatever, which is kind of funny and nice. Like, we'll see. If you're not back in 5 minutes, we're going to know you lied.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah,
sure.
We'll see. Number one or two. How long should we wait?
We're on the road a lot with, he opens and another guy, he had named Lucas, who said he opened for you once years ago. So I don't know if it's, I wouldn't blame you if you wouldn't remember. What? Lucas O'Neill.
He
opened
Wichita?
For you, he said, in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh.
He was he used to be Chicago based. And he said
maybe
it was
Sault Ste. Marie?
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah.
He said it was a tough gig.
Oh yeah. I mean, Sault Ste. Marie is a funny business gig. It's one of the worst gigs out there. It's like people show up, you know, it's packed, but I don't know why they're there. They're not really
they're not happy.
There. Yeah, it's like it's a free show for them. So okay. I just don't think there's a lot going on in the area. And then for a while, it was like huge. It was stage, huge dance floor, and then
which is perfect.
The tables. Yeah, so it's a huge gap.
Dance floor,
yeah. I mean, so I don't know. They didn't want to scuff up the floor by putting tables on it, I guess.
Sure.
I was there. I was a feature one time. I don't want to say the headliner, but he was on stage ranting and raving and doing his set, and then the power shuts off, and the whole audience claps.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What a big finish. Yeah.
That's funny. I don't know if we've had the power go out. We were in a Funny Bone somewhere, and I had the projector turn on and just starts playing the news on my chest while I'm performing.
Wow.
And no one's in the back. And, you know, I'm like trying to get someone's attention. Like, can we turn this off? Eventually, just someone in the crowd just turned it off.
It was just Fox News on your body. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was old Captain Brian.
Oh, yeah. You've been down to Captain Brian's?
Yeah, the pleasure of Captain Brian's in Naples.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a great time there. I've heard a lot of people say bad things. I had a great time.
Captain Brian was great. I thought he was a military man. He just has a boat.
He's a boat captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, if you're a boat captain, you get called captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was great.
I don't think there was anything really bad to say. It was just kind of funny. Just like we're using the salt and we're like, this is Captain Brian. Like branded salt.
Yeah, he's a brand guy.
He's a marketing guy. Yeah,
the
he's
guy's
all over the
working
place.
It. He's working it. You get a thing. I mean, you get a thing and you run with it.
We went out to the parking lot after the show to get back in our rental car, and then there's a truck, and the license plate says Captain Brian. Like, this guy just brands everything. Wow. You always know where he's at. He's nice.
Wow.
It's like Bob Vance or something.
You know, I didn't hang out with him much, but he did say his parents came to see me.
Hey.
He invited his parents.
Like, that's a big compliment.
That's
I really
what I'm
think
saying.
So.
That's what I like to be. I've said that a girl told me this the other day and then messaged me that I had been saying it too much. But she said that her dad likes me and her dad doesn't like anything. So I'm like, that's what I'm talking
about. That's the highest compliment.
And she said her sister messaged her and said, if he keeps doing that, he has to stop making that reference. And now I can't. I feel like that's my thing now.
I've had, because I often have ladies like to come to the show and they'll bring family, husband, whatever. And you get, they'll say, my husband... he doesn't think anything's funny, and he chuckled. And you're like, well, can we just talk about why'd you marry that guy?
Yeah.
And why'd you bring him? Like, yeah. I married him, number one. He's never laughed. I wanted to be around him all the time. And then I wanted to bring him to a place where you're supposed to laugh. I'm like, yeah. I don't like your decision making, but.
Yeah, what was those dates like in the early days?
Yeah, just nothing at all. She's like, finally, Dusty Slay made him laugh. I fall in love again.
Sounds like I'm your guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an argument. She's like, the reason I'm really DMing you is I'd like to start a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was always the thing. You know, I'm married now, but when I was single, like a really hot girl would come up and go, are you Dusty Slay? And then she would go, my husband loves you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's great.
That's awesome.
I do. I love husbands. And now at this point, I do have a majority like dude fan base, I think. And I like that. That's what I need. You know?
That's what you need.
That is what I need.
I think we all find what we need. The moms like me.
Yeah.
And so I've had the same. I'll never forget a literal Dallas Cowboys cheerleader came up to me years ago. I was single. So you're just thinking like, wow, this is
why we do it.
And then she's like, could we send a Snapchat to my mom? And you're just like, maybe I don't. This isn't for me, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's what I need.
Yeah.
Mom guy.
She's like, you're my mom's favorite comic.
Mm-hmm. That's
and it feels like that makes you less attractive to her.
I would guess.
It seems like it. That was my best guess. Yeah, but it's all good, man. It's you're an Alabama guy.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, and you what was your, I was trying to remember, you had a, I remember hearing this years ago, you had a funny little joke about Alabama, like, people in Alabama, they're all fans. What is it?
Well, I grew up, go to college, you know, I grew up in a town called Opelika, right? And I say, where I come from, you're either an Alabama fan or you went to college.
That was, yeah.
But I didn't go to college, so roll tide.
Roll tide. That's it.
That's the full circle part of the joke. I did that in Georgia one time right after Georgia won the national championship. And it was... they were like really into it.
Yeah.
And I did the joke kind of out of desperation. I was opening for Jeff Foxworthy at the Fox.
Wow.
The show was going fine, but it wasn't going like how I hoped it was going to go. I really had this hope that Jeff Foxworthy fans were my fans.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I got to open for him a couple of times and I thought, this is going to be great. And it was okay. His fans are a little older and I think I'm a little too, I don't know, meta or hipster for the Foxworthy crowd these days. I don't know, but either way, they're okay with what I'm doing. But I did that joke and then it crushed and I was like, man, I should have opened with that joke.
Yeah, got him on your side. So did you even tag it with Roll Tide?
And
they love that too.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Because
you got some boos and some stuff, but like
playful, you know,
Yeah, we've run into some issues like with sports, just like you made some Houston Astros.
Cities, how much they love their city or their sports or it's struck. I tried to make an Astros.
Trash can?
I tried to make an Astros like trash can, you know, because they cheated with the trash cans. And I thought it'd be kind of cheeky or whatever, but I just straight up got booed. Like they didn't like it at all.
Wow.
I was like, okay. And they had just won a playoff game. So I thought, they're in good spirits. Like, make fun of us. It's fine. But we just played Reno. And they were like, if you say Nevada instead of Nevada, like, they will kill you.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know this. You just, some of these cities.
It seems pretty intense.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, which is this very Philly of them. I wasn't even making a joke. This is just the setup to a joke I do every show. I say, Trainer, just a few months ago, we flew down to Dallas. That's the start of the sentence. And immediately, boo! Boo!
Yeah, you almost lost him.
Yeah, and
you said the word Dallas.
You start thinking like, did I say something wrong? What did I just stumble over? And then I realize, they don't like the Cowboys. I mean, they like interrupted my set just to boo the city of Dallas. And I was like, you guys have a problem.
I had a Michigan hat, like not the university, not football, not sports. It was like a Michigan auto Dip parts company. Something old school. And people in Ohio one time were like yelling about my hat. I'm like, I get it if you don't like the University of Michigan, but I didn't think you hated the whole state.
Or you hated their auto parts.
Yeah.
You can like their auto parts,
yeah,
right?
It's like, take it easy, guys. They're your neighboring state here. They're okay.
Yeah, people get fired up about that. I think you're going to be all right in Kansas City tonight. I don't think there's much you can say. I mean.
You're in Missouri. You're playing in Missouri. not yeah. Kansas. So a lot of people get fired up. I went to a comic show and he kept saying Kansas. He was in Missouri and Missouri.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say that's the only thing. Jackson Mahomes, pretty easy target if you need to, you know, throw that in anywhere. So yeah, everyone will laugh at that.
Oh, Jackson Mahomes, is that like his brother?
Oh, yeah. You don't know.
I have no idea.
So it's okay. More, yeah, so there you go.
I mean, I know, you know, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay,
that's but, good. Yeah, okay,
I
guess,
I don't know the one. Family tree, you know. But I guess you guys live here, so this is like a real, you know, you got, and maybe everybody knows this, and I'm out of touch. That could be it.
Well, obviously we know it more, but he was viral for being his little brother. I think he got arrested for various things. Just okay. Kind of a troublemaker.
Oh, okay.
Just very, and just like very, effeminate TikToker.
He was like a TikTok dancer guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe something. Do you
that's
like
tough
to do
to
a,
be Patrick Mahomes' brother?
You have to
totally.
Maybe you spin it. You say, guys, yeah. Let's all take a minute.
Yeah, I mean, your brother's like, you know, they're already calling him the greatest ever, and he's like, he is great. He's likable. He's nice.
Family man. Yeah. Everything.
It's hard it's to tough. Not. Li- I don't. You know. It's like I'm not. I always liked Andy Reid, right? So yeah. When he came here, it's like, oh, I like the Chiefs. But then they start winning, and I'm like, I live in Tennessee. I can't be like, yeah, I'm a Chiefs fan.
I right? can't like them too much.
Right, but I do like them. But it's like, yeah, it's hard to not like them.
Yeah.
They all seem like nice people.
They do. I mean, Kelsey and Taylor Swift.
We had Tyreek Hill.
It's annoying how likable they are.
Who, you know, had some things in his past.
We got rid of him.
And now he's not on the team anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to shape him. Up. He's had 12 kids in a calendar year. I don't support that. He's gone. I don't at all. You have kids.
Two kids, yeah. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, a daughter and a son. It's great. I love it.
I'm right behind you, man. I got a daughter on the way. You saw my son out there running around.
All right.
It's good,
yeah,
man.
I love it. Our sons are about the same age, and it's like I really like kids now. It's like, you know, I have nieces and nephews. You know, I was never anti-kids, but it's something about having your own kid really changed it for me.
It does. Do you?
Shocking.
Yeah.
I love it, actually.
I was like, I do. I'm 42. I had a kid at 39. I never thought I would have kids. I was really? Not anti having kids, but I, you know, I still believe that the, you know, world is about to explode, but, and everything's bad and there's no future for us.
Yep.
But, you know, having a kid, I was like, I don't know, just brightened my life up for a second.
It does.
You know, like my wife was pregnant, obviously, for 9 months, right? You see it happening. But it wasn't until the baby actually came out that I was like, whoa.
It is crazy.
A human being just came out of my wife.
And then I felt like once my son got to like a year old, then you, or all along the way, it increases. But then you start talking to it and you're like, oh, now I like really love it.
Oh, yeah.
Like compared to back then. By the way, you're 42.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a compliment, but I feel like I would put you like on an all time greats list of like tough to guess your age.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You could pass for 30, 50, whatever you want. You
know, I like
it.
That. Yeah, yeah. I'm into that.
You can do. I totally believe
well,
that.
Well, I always looked younger. Like even like, you know, my friends would have fake IDs and I was like, nah, I'm never going to get away with this. I look too young and I don't have the confidence for that. Even when I turned 21, I would still like be low confidence about getting alcohol and like, getting into a bar. I'm like, this is legit, but they're not going to believe it.
Technically, but I don't feel confident.
How'd you meet your wife back in the day?
She used to do comedy.
Cool.
And I was living in Charleston, South Carolina. She was living in Toronto, and we met in New York City doing open mics.
No way.
Yeah.
And what part of your career were you on? Why were you in New York City for open mics?
Well, I was at a place where I was ready to leave Charleston and try to, I don't know, make something of comedy. I didn't know how comedy worked at all. And I was like, well, I want to do something. So I had some friends that lived in New York. I got my friend to rent me an apartment for 1 month.
Cool.
And I just wanted to go. My plan was to do one open mic every day. I wanted to do 30 days of open mics.
Cool.
Which to someone that lives in New York is not crazy at all. But in Charleston, we had like one open mic a week. So to do 30 in 1 month was just insane. And I ended up doing like 47 open mics, which was just wild for me.
So but, you show up to New York. How long have you been doing comedy at this point?
This probably 5 years.
Okay, so
but,
you've got.
Yeah, but I've never done a comedy club. In Charleston, there was no club. We had an improv theater and bar shows.
So how much material do you feel like you had? I mean, 47 shows in a month. Are you varying it show to show very much? Are you doing completely new 5-minute sets every night?
Yeah, at some point I really started working on new material in New York. I went, but you know, when I would do something that felt like it was a good show, I'm like, I'm going to do, or a good mic, I'm like, I'm going to do good jokes that I know.
Yeah,
and so I got started getting invited to shows and stuff like that. Like, I felt like if I moved to New York, I would have rose out of the open mic scene pretty quick. Not that I wouldn't need to do mics, but I could get myself on shows pretty quick. So I was into the idea of moving to New York. Cool. I almost moved to New York.
Okay. And why were you in Charleston in the first place?
I just moved there when I was like 21 out of Alabama. I just needed a place to go. I was like bored. And
wanted to see Bill Murray, maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know if I moved in 2004. I don't even think Bill Murray was a real Charleston thing back then.
Oh, he followed you.
Yeah, of course. Of course, he was trying to meet me.
Wait, so you kill it in New York and then you go back to Charleston?
I went because I just had a 1-month thing. Right, I still had an apartment in Charleston. So I went back and I had met this manager who ended up being my manager for a time. And he kind of talked to me about, you know, he lives in Nashville. He talked to me about the idea of living in Nashville and learning to work the road as a comic, learning to, so you're like, you're working the road as a comic and you're becoming a better comic while doing comedy full time, as opposed to moving to New York where you're working another job while learning. And I like that idea.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I want to do. Yeah. I just want to do comedy right now. So I moved to comedy. I moved to Nashville in 2014, took a seasonal job, and I was like, when this job ends, I want to not get another job.
Cool. What was the seasonal job?
Well, I sold pesticides for a long time.
All right.
Ooh. And
door to door?
No. Oh, to Lowe's and Home Depot.
Barn to barn.
I was like a sales rep for a pesticide company.
Cool.
So they had seasonal positions. So I had quit that job, and then when I moved to Nashville, I got them to give me a seasonal job.
Got it.
And then you accomplish that?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Cool. Nice.
By the next season, when the job was coming around again, I really toyed with the idea of taking it back.
Because you were kind of killing it, let's be honest.
Well,
you were slinging that pesticide.
Yeah, and I wasn't really making money with comedy.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't have a passion for the pests.
Okay. No. I was like, I'm living in an attic apartment that was $250 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to survive, but I'm like, I'm not really getting a lot of gigs. But I just made it work. I had my car paid off and no real bills.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah, I had no debt. Good for you. Not going to college. I had no student loans. And it was great. I was just like, I don't owe a lot of money. My rent's $250 a month.
That's it. That's the most you have to spend in a month, you know, if you wanted to.
And as you were doing that, you were dating your now wife?
No.
Or married?
We met in New York and then we both went back to our own places. And
she was like, call me when you make more money. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, she didn't say those words, but I think that's what was in her mind. But I went to Toronto and visited her in late 2015, and I had done Last Comic Standing. I didn't go far, but I did do it.
You did it?
You weren't the last one, but you know.
Yeah, it was the last one, and I made it to what they called the final 100.
Okay. So like it was more a comic standing.
Yeah, I like to say it was out of millions of people.
That's pretty good.
Top and 1%. I got on TV a little bit, just, you know, kind of just a shot of me biting my nails in the back. But
this is how it starts.
We were working it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was something. So your wife, she is Canadian.
She is Canadian. Wow. She's an American citizen now.
Thanks to you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I hope she listens to this.
Yeah.
But so I met with her in Toronto. We hung out. I did a couple of shows. And then she was an actress, right? So she didn't have a job. And so I talked her into leaving with me and going on the road. Not that acting's not a job, but currently didn't have one. And so, so I got her to leave with me and we did some funny business gigs and Spring Lake, Michigan, which is one of the worst gigs they had. It's a beautiful place, but the gig was bad.
Yeah.
And then you go to, the next was Merrillville, Indiana. They had a club called Wisecrackers.
Okay.
And that whole hotel is bulldozed to the ground now, but it was one of the worst too. But,
okay, good.
But then, you know what? Funny enough, she went down to Nashville with me after that gig. The next weekend, I went to the Kansas City Improv. to open for Aerie Spears. Wow. And it was one of the best weekends I ever had at that point. And she got to see me work it in front of this Aerie Spears crowd that I opened for. I opened for him two times after that, which went awful. I don't know.
You know,
I don't know what happened in Kansas City, but I was crushing it.
You know, I have to say the all black crowds are, it's all or nothing. I do believe.
With yes, that. It is.
It's when I was
very hard.
When I was getting going in Kansas City, I was doing spots. The improv was nice enough to have me. I would hop on people's shows. And the first time I felt like I got off stage like, I'm funny, was an all black crowd. I was like, because when I saw the all black crowd, I was kind of nervous. I was like, oh, I'm not really prepared for this. I'm like, okay. And then I went back the next time and it was some other all black crowd. So then I was like, maybe I'm the next Gary Owen or something. These are my people. And it's the most I've ever died on stage in my life. I'll never forget. I almost never did it again. It was so bad.
It's so bad. I have, I've done a fair amount of all black audiences and I've never been booed. Never, nothing like that. But I've had some audiences get very quiet. I mean,
like angrily like, quiet.
You wish they had been.
Yeah, like purposely quiet. They're like, I'm not even going to rattle a paper right now. I want him to feel this.
Yeah. That's what black folks will do to you. I feel like you play some white people. Like, my mom's never going to be dead quiet. She would, a nice white lady, she'd give you some courtesy laughs. These black people would be like, well, he needs to know
this
deserves this level of quiet.
I mean, the Stardom in Birmingham, I've done a few times, and you do these, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday headlining gigs where, you know, they give free tickets, right? So it's like I've had completely full audiences, but nobody paid. So they're just there. And if it's funny, they'll laugh. But if it's not, they're, you can see faces light up when the phones come on. I mean, what you can tell when they've checked out.
You ever walk into a room and you see someone and you really judge a book by its cover and you just go, this person is not going to like me at all. I know, I go into a show and I see like this burly man with like neck tattoos and I was just like, I just don't think we're going to be on the same page tonight when I joke about what I'm going to joke about.
Yeah.
That's tough. I remember one of those times.
A lot of times you can be right about it.
A lot of times you can.
You can see them come in. You're like, they're not going to like it. And then halfway through the show, you look down at them and they're not enjoying themselves.
Not liking it.
And you're like, I was spot on with that one.
Yeah. I had one time meet me in the meet and greet. He was like, his wife was a super fan. And his one thing he said to me was, when will it end? Wow. And I go, I just don't think he's not excited to be here at all.
Wait, when did he say he said that?
It was the pre-show meet and greet.
Oh.
He was like, when's it gonna get over?
Big fan, and he was just like, I'm just curious, when will it end? And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
And he was a big burly like Northeast guy. I was like, I'm gonna get up here and joke around about like golden doodles and stuff. It's just probably his vibe.
Okay. Pre-show. I'm thinking after the show, and he's when will it end?
When's your career over? When will me talking to you end? Or the career, yeah.
Okay, all right, well, that's a little better.
A little better. And his wife's a big fan, so he's in the first few rows, and I would, sometimes you're just a masochist, where I'm through the set. I'm just repeatedly looking at him, just being like, yep, he's still not liking it. Why? I should just not look at him again, right?
Yes.
But I gonna keep looking at him. And I swear I maybe got one smirk, but no.
Yeah.
That happens, man. That happens.
See, a lot of comics tell me that they always find the person in the audience that doesn't laugh, and then they keep focusing on them. See, I find them, and then I'm done. I will never
look
in your direction for the rest of the show.
Right.
I could have caught you at one moment where you weren't laughing, but now I know you hate the show. I'll never look at you again.
I've grown more into that. I would used to stare at a guy like, come on, man. Give me something. I need everyone here.
As far as I'm concerned, if you don't like it, I'd like you to leave. I'd like you to get
it's
up.
Almost, and yeah. Just I tell, agree. Like I don't like myself.
Like your wife is shopping and you just want to go sit in the chair out front of the store. That's fine with me.
You know, that does remind me. One of these stories that comes to mind, I was playing what's the in Greensboro Comedy Zone, Comedy Works, whatever it is. And I have to get Aaron Weber, your co-host. If you don't know Aaron, hilarious. You know, he's been out with John. I've met him years ago. He did me real solid. I played there, and I remember getting off stage and being like, oh boy, I questioned everything. And he shot me a text. He's like, are you playing that room? It's a tough room. I've died many deaths in that room. And I just feel like he was a real helpful, because it's a strange room to play. It's bright as day in there, and it's weird. And it really helped me.
The last time I went to Greensboro, it's my first time really selling tickets. I did not go there for years and years, and it was my first time selling tickets. And I almost sold out all the shows. They weren't all sell, right. And it was really great. But prior to that, I had been a couple of times, and it was, and I said it many times to people, it is the worst club in the country.
Okay.
But when I went back and I actually had sold tickets,
you're like, wait a second.
I had a ton of fun.
Yeah.
But I think what happens, I don't know exactly what, but the same people own this bar called Arizona Pete's.
The weird warehouse across the street. Oh, yeah.
It's in the same parking lot with the club. And I think that both of them own Arizona Pete's and the Comedy Zone. Mm. So I think Arizona Pete's is very popular.
Yeah, it seems like
so. I think you have to get tickets for it. So they give you tickets for Arizona Pete's if you come to the Greensboro Comedy Zone.
This is like their purgatory. They're like the on-deck circle.
Right. So they're just sitting through the show to get the tickets for Arizona Pete's.
That's the room right where the green room is, like that guy's office, right? It's got like a printer, and it's where they keep the syrup for the margaritas. Mm-hmm.
It's like a weird storage closet. It's quite literally a storage closet, and they pop in and grab a liquor bottle, and they're like, excuse me. And it was 84 degrees in there.
Yeah.
So hot. The showroom was so hot.
So hot.
And it was a real turnaround for me, though, but mainly I think it's because, I mean, it was like I was pretty vocal about how much I hated going to that club. And it was a real turnaround for me. I was very happy about it. But I'm glad Aaron sent you that because I've seen so many people die in that room.
Yeah.
Actually, a guy passed out during my show. I think he lived, but.
You know, he wasn't enjoying it, so he wouldn't look at him again. Yeah. It was pouring rain one, like crazy, it's such insane storms that they're like, we might cancel the show. And we went on with it. Some people didn't show up. And there was, not a drip, not a trickle, but a full stream of water in the middle of the stage. Wow. So I had to do the whole set kind of on the edge of the stage and just be like, yeah, that's what's happening.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And then you probably had the fans on the stage too. Sure. I think not people that bought tickets to the show, like a mechanical fan.
Yeah, a bladed fan.
We had a local opener named Chris. Does that ring a bell?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If you had the last name, maybe.
I wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
He was a middle-aged dude, really cool, nice dude. And at the end of the weekend, he was hosting. So he kind of goes up after me and like, hey, you guys, he's like real quick. And he brought us back up and did some nice, like, guys, I've had the pleasure of working with these guys. They're just great guys. And I just wanted to give them a shout. Like, did this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it was amazing at the time. I was about to cry. I was like, this is so nice. And I was just hoping to hear you say, like, yeah, that's Chris. And he does that every single week.
I don't know.
Because I felt special.
Yeah. Okay, but I hate that. And I would be like, look, Chris, let's not. We're not going to be doing that.
I would hate that now. But when I was, like, 6 months into comedy, I was like, thank you so much.
Well, you know, I don't know Chris, but that he might have just been really happy.
Maybe he meant it.
You don't have to like validate it. I was well, just curious.
He, as far as I know, Chris didn't even come to my show.
He was at Arizona Pete's. Boogieing.
Chris did share a ton of stories of how there used to be a hot tub in the upstairs green room, and they used
those
to,
are the
they
good
used
old
to go
days.
There after Arizona Pete's. Oh. And it was a lot of stuff I didn't need to hear at all. But
yeah,
that's the best part of meeting local comics in random cities is they just say insane stuff to you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's who's some of my favorite who's things. Opening and hosting tonight or this weekend, you know?
Oh, yeah. Did you bring anybody or are you just local?
I don't know who's hosting. Usually Dustin Slentz hosts for me. He's a local to Kansas City, and I met him years ago, and he always hosts. And then I have a guy named Tyler Elliott out of Texas.
On the road with you?
Cool. Yeah. Well, he's doing this week and then Houston next week.
Cool.
I have a few people that I like to bring around. Tyler's great, very funny guy.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Dustin, I don't think of.
Yeah, I mean,
is
I don't know.
Is Dustin doing like comedy all the time in Kansas City, or are you just connected with
him? As I know, he is doing comedy all the time in Kansas City. But I see him once a year when I come, and we hang, and so.
It's Dustin in Kansas City.
Yeah.
What part of the process are you on? I assume you're doing, you know, four shows in a weekend, or you're building the new set, the new hour?
Yeah, I mean, I have an hour that I like already, a new hour, so I would be down to film it.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. You've been playing some theater. We played this Fargo Theater the day after you.
Oh, okay.
That's fun.
That was fun.
It was nice.
Fargo's a great crowd.
Fargo's wild to me because I did my show and then I came out of the theater at 9 o'clock and it was still daylight.
Yes.
I was like, wow, this is really strange.
It was. Well, it was a great little.
I liked it. I did Fargo, and then theater. I did another
Bismarck.
Bismarck, yes. I was gonna say Billings.
Wow, but you really got after the. I guess that's a little bit your people, huh? These
yeah,
small town.
I didn't sell out either of those shows, and I had been selling out a lot of these theaters I was doing.
Well, it is tough. I didn't sell it out either. There's not a lot of people.
Yeah.
There to.
But they were into it.
They were fun, and that's what's fun about the small towns. They're like. Yeah. They're like, why are you here? And you're like, I'm starting to wonder that myself.
They do say that. Yeah. What are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm coming to entertain you.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
It's funny when people.
It's almost like, why do you do this at all?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, when is it going to end?
Just what? Just tonight? Your career. Yeah.
It's funny when people will take the time to thank me. They're like, hey, thanks again for coming to Des Moines. Like, it means a lot. Like,
yeah,
one,
I know.
I'm the opener. Two, I got paid to be here. You know, so, I mean, none of...
And also...
No problem.
Think better of your city.
Yeah, right.
Quit doing this to yourself. Appreciate you coming to Des Moines. This is a major city. I mean, it's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I like it.
Caitlin Clark's from here.
Yeah.
Thought I'd bump into her.
Do you do meet and greets?
I do a lot of times, but sometimes when I'm doing two show nights...
That's tough.
It's hard.
Yeah. That's tough.
It's like I was doing it. It's like you do the show. Yeah, I do. If I'm doing a theater now, I'll do like an hour 15. I mean, I love to like the theater. I just feel like I can just keep going. And then so you do that and then you go meet everybody and then you go back for a second and then you go right back out there and then you and then it's like I'm exhausted.
Totally.
Yeah. When you do two shows, it's a bummer. Sometimes you have to do two, especially if you're lucky enough to do two theaters or something. Cause you're, instead of giving the people, maybe I'm rolling 70, 80, you have to go, we have to do a tight 55. Cause you got to get this next people in and out. And you're like, it's exhausting. And then it's midnight and you just go to bed.
Yeah.
The one show nights in cities are.
One show night is where it's at.
It's pure fun.
I even want to do earlier shows. Let's do 5 p.m. shows. That's where I'm at.
Tried it a bit.
We did a matinee. If you had to add on a Saturday, or do you feel like your audience might appreciate a matinee? You ever considered?
I would think so. I mean, I
tried it once. I don't know if it was a big difference, but
I just like the idea that I could do two shows and be done by 9.
That's really the best part.
And I don't really, it's not that I want to go to sleep. I just want to like, I like cigars and that's what I want to do. I just want to, I have a hard time doing cigars before shows. It drains my energy, but I just want more time at night.
Yeah. You see a shooting, you know, you got the cigar.
Exactly.
That's fun.
If I had done two shows in New Orleans, I wouldn't have got to see that shooting.
That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah. Discussion ended. That's what it comes down to.
I was thinking about this on the way over. Is your real name Dusty Slay?
It is my real name.
Because it fits you so well.
I will say this, though. My parents wrote on the birth certificate, Dustin.
Okay.
But they never called me Dustin. They don't call me Dustin now. When I was in trouble, they never called me Dustin.
Wow.
They never did. It's always Dusty, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, if you always called me that, that's my name.
Yeah.
You wrote something down. I think the pressure was on him. Because my dad says I was named after Dusty Rhodes. My mom says I was named after some soap opera character named Dusty.
Cool.
So if you're naming me after these Dusties, But you're writing Dustin.
What happened day of?
It feels like somebody was over him. Like, do you really want to name your kid Dusty legally?
Yeah, they're like, you put wrote down Dusty. They're like, I'll just put Dustin.
Yeah,
just and so, you call him what you want, but just but in case. You know,
passport legally.
Technically,
it's Dustin.
I'm Dustin.
Yeah,
okay. That's my disguise now. When I go, oh no, I'm Dustin. Yeah.
Are you wait? Are you Dusty Slay? No, look.
No, sorry. Dustin, wish I was.
I know we look alike, yeah. But
what kind of nicknames you get growing up with the name Dusty Slay?
Well, you know, Musty, Crusty, all rhyme. You know,
anything that rhymes, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Dust bucket,
dirty. I mean, any, you know, anything.
There's
know.
A lot of opportunities with yeah. That. That's fun. Were you such a what great kind name. Of a? I'm getting your vibe right now. Was this how you've always been? What was your kind of vibe as like a high schooler? Were you just a unique guy? Were you a popular?
I always pretty unique, I would say.
Okay.
And I think I was relatively popular. I mean, I was well known, I would say. But there were definitely people in my high school that you would say, these are the popular kids. But I was still very well known and well liked. I had a lot of parties, you know, in like 11th and 12th grade at my house. My mom was gone a lot. So I had a lot of parties.
Okay,
so that,
that's pretty popular.
That really helped the popularity. And, you know, I liked, you know, I dressed a little crazy. I bleached my hair.
Wow.
You know, I wore a lot of skull t-shirts, but wasn't really goth, you know. I just was getting wild with it. And I had a lot of energy. You know, I always wanted to be the funny guy, but I was, you know, tripping in the hall and faking a seizure, you know, that sort of stuff.
Classic.
And I feel like I was like that for a long time until I found stand-up comedy. And it's like stand-up comedy, I got to do it, and then I got all these laughs at once. It's like my body needs a certain amount of laughs. And so now I was able to get them, and I could just exist as a normal person.
You're, yeah, you're not like slipping in the supermarket. To
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, look at me. You just.
But that's all I wanted was for you know I love doing. I shaved my eyebrows one time, and I would.
I see.
What age?
Yeah.
And then probably 19.
Not bad.
You showed up and you're like, look how funny.
And I would walk through I remember walking through like a Walmart. I put my hat on backwards to hold my hair back so you could just see like a huge
just skin.
Yeah. And I was like, this is the greatest thing. Like people were like, gave me the weirdest looks. And I loved it. I was like, this is great.
That's interesting.
I was doing weird internet stuff before there was the internet.
Kidding,
we were just doing it for real life.
Yeah, you're the real deal. You actually walked the walk.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Like you were determined, whatever you were going to do for a career, you were going to get a reaction out of people.
Yeah, and stand-up comedy was never even on the radar. I like stand-up comedy, but I grew up in a small town and there was, you know, I just didn't even think that was ever something I could do. And it wasn't even like, oh, I wish I could do it, but I can't. It just wasn't even.
It was even a dream. Right?
Yeah. And I moved to Charleston and I started doing some improv. I saw an ad in a paper for improv and I was like, I don't know what that is, but I've seen Whose Line Is It Anyway? That seems fun.
Yeah.
And I started doing that and I met people and through that we started doing stand up and, and it's just like, it took a long time for me to get good at stand up comedy too. Like I was okay right away. But not good, you know.
That's what it seems. That's how it seems to go.
Yeah.
And now you have eyebrows. I see them.
Yeah, they came back. Which...
Came back. People always throw out there, like, you know, they might not grow back. I've known quite a few people who've shaved them off. I've never met someone who's actually, like, they're
lost
gone
them.
Forever.
Yeah.
But... I don't either. And I, you know, that's never something I would do now.
good.
Well, yeah, you're getting laughs on stage. So.
Yeah.
What we know if you show up with no eyebrows... Things are not going good.
But, you know, exactly. You know, things have taken a turn. But in the 90s, it was like, it's like weird to think about. Sometimes I really like think about the 90s and I think how great it was. But it's like, you know, life without the internet is really weird to think about now. Without social media, without that, it's like, you know, we were just me and my buddies sitting around a house being like, what do you want to do today?
Yeah.
It is. I think as a parent, I'm sure you think about it. I used to, you know, you're about 10 years older than me, but when I was like 11, I'd just be like, see you later, mom. And I'd take off on my bike and she just trusted I'd be somewhere in the neighborhood. And 4 hours later, I'd arrive back home.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, now I think you get arrested if you allowed that as a parent.
Yeah. And who, I mean, I wouldn't even want to do it. Sometimes my neighborhood is great. It seems like a very safe neighborhood. But like my daughter, we'd be on the front yard and she could go around to the other side of the car and I don't know where she's at for a second. And I'm like,
she's gone.
I'm freaked out.
Hey.
I'm like, I'm screaming her name out in the front yard. And she's like, what? I'm right here.
Yeah.
You know, but bizarre. I'm like, I don't know. I used to go in the woods and would be gone all day.
There was a time I did a prank. Like we were running around a bunch of kids and the parents picked up all the kids but me as like a joke. Cause I was kind of like the crazy kid. They're like, we're going to mess with Trey and like take these kids back home and leave him out in the neighborhood. And that was like a funny joke they did on purpose. And then as a kid, I was like, well, to show them, I'm going to go hide in the woods for hours and hours and make them scared and like call the police. And then that was like a whole bit everyone did. And we're like, this is so great.
I love that you did that.
I am proud.
Because that's a dirty prank from the adults.
Yeah.
But I love that you did that.
I know.
I hope it really scared them.
Me and my best buddy, who was like a really rule follower guy, I was like, we just got to sit back in this creek.
Teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
Teach him. And it worked, man. They were
for everybody really but your parents. I love that joke. Yeah, right? I don't like it for your parents, but for the other adults, I love that.
It's good.
Just that, like, they're like walking around going, we shouldn't have did this. I don't know why I let you talk me into this. I don't know what happened to him. I just thought it'd be fun little things.
Yeah. What are the odds? Yeah. You said how it being a parent, you know, makes it just everything changes. You travel a lot. Have you felt this becoming a parent? Now I get on planes. Before I was a parent, I don't think I saw a baby out in public a single time. And now I'm on a plane and there's babies everywhere. We have a way of babies don't exist until you acknowledge them.
Yeah, I think so.
It's very strange.
I think so. But and also like when a baby would cry before, I would be like, oh, get your kid. But now I'm like, I'm almost like, let me hold him for a minute. Yeah. Let me see if I can do something.
You see the struggling mom like by herself. And I used to be like, what is she? And now I'm helping her, meeting her.
Yeah.
I'll drive you to your location, whatever
people
you need.
People don't want me to help, but.
I'm Dusty. Yeah.
You may hold your kid for a second.
I'm a father.
But I could be 30 or 50. Let me get in there.
Come on.
Come on.
We're having fun.
That's funny.
You said a small town. Was it a very small high school as well that you grew up
in? It's not such a small. I mean, we had a pretty good, 200 or 300 people in our graduating class sort of thing. So, but it was, you know, the one school of the town. But I'm right next to Auburn University, and then there's, so in my county was four high schools.
Okay.
So my city wasn't tiny, but it's like, there's nothing going on. Even to this day, I love to go back. We got a few coffee shops now, a few nice restaurants, and it's like, it's cool. But, a couple of days, I'm ready to get out of there.
Your folks still live there?
My dad lives in, my parents are divorced. My dad lives in a neighboring town, even a very small town. His town is actually very small. And my mom still has a house there, but she's kind of living with my sister a little bit in another part of Tennessee.
Nice. Did your high school have any people of notoriety come through? Are you like the shining star? Like, are they proud of you there?
Do you have a sign yet?
I don't have a sign yet.
Dusty Slate. No.
The mayor did reach out. The mayor's office reached out to me when my Netflix came out.
Okay.
All right.
And just said, good job.
They said, we know a Dustin on the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. Don't look up Dustin. Dustin got arrested in this town one time. But he said he wanted to recognize me in some way, but it hasn't happened yet. We've not done it. I wanted to do it in July. We tried to work something out. It didn't work out. But he's been mayor for a long time, but wasn't mayor when I was there.
So okay.
I've been gone 20 years.
I didn't know if there was a statue out front of the high school.
No,
or
there should be something though. I don't know if a statue, I'm not asking for a statue, but a sign. Would just be
like
nice.
One of those signs they like nail to
Opelika,
the like,
population. Yeah. Like home here. Of Dustin Slay.
That is the perk of being from a really small town. Your town's small enough that you could probably approaching like,
I might be close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With this town, we've only had 7,000 people live here ever.
Oh, yeah. That is big time.
Yeah, Jake Triplett.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much. I mean, we have an 18-wheeler car wash and no famous people, yeah. You know, so it's very
I'll never do it. I'm in the same hometown as Blake Griffin, so he's kind of the guy.
Yeah.
And Shannon Miller, you know her?
I don't know her.
She was, I guess her time's come. She was a very, very famous Olympic gold medalist gymnast in the 80s or something.
Oh, okay.
So kind of her and now Blake Griffin, and I just don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, I think you're right up there with a gold medalist in the 80s.
Yeah, you're probably
second. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's and a tier system. And it's like
there's room for Blake Griffin and Trey Kennedy. what I mean?
And he's retired now. I think if hopefully I can keep doing this for a few more years, and Blake Griffin, you know, he'll just kind of go away and maybe.
When does it end?
And I think he's trying to do comedy sometimes. Yeah. So it's you're better at comedy than he is.
He did. It felt like he kind of stopped. He pushed it. I remember talking to my agent. He was like doing spots at a Just for Laughs a few years ago or something. He was doing stuff and maybe he kind of said, you know what? I don't need to slum it doing stand up.
Yeah.
And be rich and famous and watch a guy like rolling his eyes at me. So that's not a good feeling. You're like, yeah. Oh, that's what's great about stand up. Very humbling. There's nothing you could possibly do to not get on a stage every now and then and be like, should I just die?
The most humbling.
The most.
I just did a corporate gig and it was going really great. And this guy laughed a mocking laugh midway through. And I'm like,
oh,
jeez, guy. And I was able to turn it in a way that shut him up without, you know, I'm not trying to go after the guy.
Yeah.
It's this is a corporate gig for a construction company. I'm not trying to get beat up by a bunch of dudes that built the theater out back. But, you know, it's just like, I was like, what are you doing, dude? I was like, somebody here you work for is paying me. All you're doing is ruining the gig for everybody else.
I played a casino 2 weeks ago, and as I was getting on my tour bus, a car leaving the parking garage leaned out the door and said, "You effing suck."
Oh, geez.
And my bus driver standing right there and like went. And I was like, you know what? And now how do I possibly think I'm the man now? And that's a good thing.
It's gotta make you feel better that the bus driver laughed. Though.
Right. And then I kind of looked at him like, maybe he said what I thought he said, right? And he was kind of like, yeah, he did. I was like, okay.
Because if your bus driver is like consoling you after that,
that's what you don't want.
Then you're like, oh, do I? Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
But if he laughs, you're like, oh, yeah, it's a big joke. Well,
yeah, I love when people say that. Just cry in my bunk. Yeah.
Wow.
You like the bus?
I don't. I have a bus.
Okay. Even when you, all right. You never been on one?
No, I don't have a bus, but
I don't own one. You bussed around. Do you like the bus experience?
Yeah, I never did. Like a Greyhound. Really, I never liked that. Greyhound station in my neighborhood was like the worst part of town.
I'm not talking about bus as a transportation.
School bus, I did like. I did enjoy that. Threw up on the bus one time.
Yeah,
I was middle seat. Hit both of the kids beside
me. Laughs or genuinely?
No,
sick?
I was sick, and I hit the seat in front of me, and it hit the kids on the either side. Mm. Disaster. Mm-hmm. I remember the kid digging throw up out of his backpack with a pencil going, "You're going to buy me a new backpack," as I'm getting off in a trailer park. I'm like, I don't think so. I'm carrying my books. I don't even have a backpack. But I did a bit of a bus tour with Bert Kreischer several years ago, and I do like a bus.
Wait, did you do Fully Loaded?
No. This was Bert's first bus tour.
Oh, wow. Cool.
But
is he as insane as people say?
When I have hung out with Bert, he's like, on the tour, he would not drink all day. He would go for runs. At night, he would really get into it. But my biggest problem was that Bert wanted to stay up way late. And I'm like, I'm not drinking. I don't drink. So I'm like, I'm tired.
I had a cigar, dude. I'm exhausted.
I'm tired. And but he's always very nice. Bert always seems like such a normal person, not on the internet.
Oh, okay. I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, it sounds like a madman. But
he was so nice. I mean, I featured for him at a club. Organically, we got matched up. And then he ended up matching my pay for the weekend. Whatever the club paid me, he paid me also that.
Oh, that's cool.
And then on the bus tour, I mean, he does nice things for people. He had to stop doing this. Apparently it was illegal, but for his meet and greet, he would have people, you know, you could just buy a raffle ticket. And then, so people would, you know, they would draw and they would get to do the meet and greet. And then he would draw another ticket, and then whoever got that got all the money that people put in.
Wow.
So he didn't keep the money for the meet and greet, but that was considered gambling, yeah. I guess. So he wasn't able to do that anymore. But he was given all the money back. And super then he would tip nice. Big everywhere you went. And then like these shows, I'm sure he can't do this now, but these shows were like 1,000-seat theaters. And he would tell everybody in the theater what bar we were going to after the show. And then so after the show, I would walk into this bar and it was like people were cheering for me. And I was like, oh, man, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, he would drink a lot. But, you know, I never saw him like really wasted or anything. Okay. He was always very nice to me.
That's cool.
I like Bert.
And you like the bus.
And I like the bus. But that being said, I don't really like being on somebody else's bus. Mm-hmm. If it's mine, I'm into it. But I don't really like being on a thing where it's like, all right, for this whole time, my rules are the rules. That, not that anybody's saying that, but it is the thing. It's like, yeah. Whatever. Like Nate has this tour that he's doing now where all these guys go out and they're like doing activities all day. It seems like a nightmare to me. I'm like,
yeah, like you have to do it.
I'm like, and they go golfing, and I'm like, I want to get to my hotel. I just want to lay here until showtime, and then go do the show. Yeah. That's all I want to do. Yeah. It sounds so boring, I know, but that maybe I get up, go get a coffee,
hop on a podcast,
go do a podcast. This is great.
This is great.
But after this, back to the hotel back for me. That's why I want to do it early in the morning, so I got plenty of time to get sad at the hotel.
Yes.
That's all I want to do is get sad so I can go do the show and then be like, oh, yeah, I feel good.
Yes. Do you like a good hotel hang, or is it genuinely like, this is sad, I'm sitting in this hotel alone?
It's just like, you know, my what does my wife call it? It's an M word. I forget. Not melancholy, but I don't know. I forget. It's like a depressed word.
Morose.
Malaise is what she
malaise.
Says.
Malaise. That's a good morose word, too.
Morose is too. Yeah, malaise is
look
what
at
she
us.
Says.
We know a lot of cool words that start with M, yeah.
That's what she always says. I sit in there until I get a malaise, where I'm like...
That's just your pre-show routine.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I don't want to be too confident about comedy. Mm-hmm. The moment I'm like, yeah, I'm about to crush this, that's when I start bombing. Mm-hmm. I like to be in the green room going, I don't know if this is gonna go well. And then because that's the energy I bring to the stage, and I feel like that's better.
Yeah, it makes a better product. It sounds like a tough life to live.
I was gonna say, it sounds exhausting.
It's a great Netflix
I'm
special
tired.
That's why you can't do activities. You're in a constant state of anxiety, but
yeah,
hey, part of the job.
Yeah, it is like if I'm out doing an activity and I know I got a show, I'm like, I'm wasting energy out here. Mm-hmm. I need this for the stage.
Yeah. I love that. I get it. Okay, wait, how long have we been going, man?
Hour five.
All right, been fun, man.
This is great. I'm having a great time.
We're having a good time.
And I don't know if this goes on YouTube, but there's a guy that always does hashtag dump Dusty. He seems
comment
to follow.
It,
he seems
follow
to follow around. All hashtag my podcasts around dust. That I do. I just did Pete Holmes' podcast, and I first comments dump Dusty.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, I'm not joining Pete Holmes' podcast, right? I'm just a guest here today.
That's terrific. All right, well, I hope to see him in the comments.
Yeah.
What do you got to plug? What else are you heading on tour?
Well, I got, I don't know when this comes out. I got Houston next week. I got the second half of my tour. I got, I got a bunch of theaters coming up the second half of the year. I'll go to, I know the next on the wing is Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
All right.
Wow.
Where can they find all that info?
DustySlay.com.
Okay.
You got
the URL. Was it a tough one to get?
I got it a long time ago.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I got in early.
That's a flex. It really only matters to people like us who have to get a website. It's like, wow, it's his name and not Dusty Slay Comedy.
Yeah, I wanted to get it early.
Yeah.
I locked it down in 2012.
Dang.
Yeah. Dude, I have TreyKennedy.com, and my dad... this is unbelievable. My dad, when I was like a 5 years old or something, he's like, for his children, he's bought our domains. He's like, just in case. What?
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, isn't that cool? You have to shout out my he's a very...
Your dad was so on it. Like, I don't even think about that for my kids right? But I'm about to.
If you met my dad, he's the most, like, prepared dad of all time. He's like,
I love that.
What are the odds?
Well, the part is that I needed that. He did sell it to Trey for, what, 10 grand?
That is true. Yeah. He did make 10 grand off.
Yeah, he invested. He's not an idiot.
You're playing... dude, this is so much fun. You're playing Phoenix, Balboa, and San Diego. Oh, yeah. Have you played there before?
No. I've done San Diego, so fun, man. Never that theater.
You're playing the Comedy Mothership.
I am, yeah.
Whoa.
Sold actually, out a couple times already.
Actually, yeah, two. The numbers I'm seeing, almost all of them are sold out.
Yes, that's what
it is. But only two are officially sold out, I think.
Have you played there before?
I did a small spot.
Okay, how is it?
I thought it was great. Yeah. I guess they have like Fat Man and Little Boy Room. There's two rooms. I did a spot on the Little Boy Room, and now I'm headlining the Fat Man.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
But I did a theater last time I was in Austin, but I just think that it's exciting to do the Mothership. Totally. So,
you're going everywhere. Congrats. This is so fun. Yeah, we know. We have a ton of audience members that, you know, will want to see you. You're in Lexington, Kentucky, Macon, Georgia, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Fayetteville's the best. That's Springfield, fun. Missouri.
Where I'm from.
All right. Hometown. I love Galois,
baby.
I've been doing, you know, the Blue Room in Springfield for years and years. This is my first time going there, not doing the Blue Room. And I'm a little sad about it because Christopher Michael Ray, that runs the Blue Room, is my friend. And I love doing that club. Yeah. But I'm like, I am happy to be doing theaters.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Are you doing the Galois?
Yes, he is.
Okay. That was my grandma's first job, was selling popcorn at that theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This is awesome, man.
I'll check the popcorn out.
Yeah, it'd mean a lot to her. Yeah. Portland, thank you.
DustySlay.com. He's coming everywhere. Portland, Seattle. Go check it out. Dude, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me. Yeah, Dusty Slay everything. Any social media, it's all Dusty Slay. Dump it's Dusty. Easy to find. Dump Dusty. Hashtag if you want to find any podcast I've been on. Yes.
amazing, dude. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. And, I appreciate it.
Follow Dusty.
Good luck this weekend. Correct opinion.